Guys, this is super important. Why? Because as you know, today, having a strong online presence is crucial for any business. And the same holds true for Web3 law practices. Whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing practice, building a robust online presence can help you attract new clients, you can showcase your expertise, and you can position yourself as a thought leader in the industry. What's up, guys? Welcome to Barely Legal in Web3, the podcast that takes a critical look at the world of Web3 and emerging technologies. I'm Jamelia Greer, your host and a seasoned attorney with a passion for exploring legal, regulatory, and ethical implications of Web3. On this podcast, I'll be joined by trailblazing guests who are pushing the boundaries and driving innovation in this exciting space. We'll dive into the latest trends, challenges, and opportunities in Web3 and share expert insights on how these technologies are transforming the world of law and beyond. If you're a lawyer looking to stay ahead of the curve in Web3, don't worry, I've got you covered. I'll be sharing practical strategies and tips to help you scale your legal practice and navigate the legal landscape of blockchain and DeFi. So sit back, relax, and let's get Barely Legal. So, how can you build a strong online presence as a Web3 lawyer? Today, I'm going to give you some tips that will help you build your online presence as a Web3 lawyer. So take out your pens and paper and get ready, okay? So these are things that I've tried and I find they work pretty well. And I actually have found that if you don't do these are kind of like the bare minimum of what you actually need to pull together to start and really get your practice up and running and get things off the ground. So I'm gonna walk you through what I think are really like the fundamentals in building a strong online presence as a Web3 lawyer. And hey, it involves tech, right? So guys, I know some of you say, you know, like, hey, I'm not tech savvy and I don't like being on social media and all of these things, but you're building a business and you have to do it. There really is no easy way. The only easy way out of this is spending money and hiring someone to do it for you, which, hey, if you got it like that, good for you. But some of us don't. Some of us have to learn and we have to kind of just hustle and find out how to do this stuff. So let me give you some tips and I hope it's helpful for you. So the first thing that you absolutely need to have, you need to develop a professional website that showcases your expertise and services. Guys, lawyers are all very different. And we all have different skill sets and different practice areas. You need to make sure that your website is communicating what your value is. What is your expertise? What are the services that you provide? Your website has to be visually appealing. It's got to be easy to navigate. And you need like a clear call to action. So let me give you an example of this. So if you're a lawyer that specializes in digital assets, you want to showcase your expertise and your understanding of smart contracts and how you've worked with businesses on that. You want to make sure you have certain keywords that are on your website. And you might even want to, as a call to action, offer a free consultation to potential clients. I know the word free scares a lot of you guys off sometimes, but you actually need to do it when you're just starting out, because it's a way for you to get leads and start to develop that sort of a list of potential clients that you can actually work for. So that is like a bare bones first thing that you have to do is you need to get a website up. It has to be a professional website that has your expertise, your services. Make sure it looks good. Don't just be throwing anything up there because I know it's tempting, right? I must have redone the ByteBow website like 5 times. You guys check it out. It went from like, and I had a guy in Nigeria that, you know, we developed a good professional relationship over a period of time, but he did like 2 or 3 redos of the website and even the branding kit. First, it was black with red and purple. Then we just did black and white, and I'm like, oh, that's a little bit too drab. Now it's like purple. It's probably going to continue to change, but as long as it has my brand colors, that's all I really care about. But it has to look good, and it should look good. You know, it should reflect you as a brand because you're the CEO, right? So it's going to be visually appealing. It's going to be easy to navigate, and you need a clear call to action. You know, a lot of times lawyers put together, and law firms in particular, put together these websites that people go to and they just get lost. They just get lost. Like, what the hell am I even supposed to be doing on this website? You need to get to the point, okay? Let people know what your practice area is, what your skill set is, and then give the call to action. Set up a free call. Reach out. The person shouldn't have to jump through hoops to get in touch with you. So that's point one. And for those of you that are adventurous and really think, hey, I'm going to actually do this, which I hope many of you are, let me give you some steps that you definitely should do. And if you're going to build a website, first of all, you need to have a hosting platform. You can use Wix, you can use Squarespace, you can use WordPress. Many people use WordPress. It has a lot of templates, kind of easy to build. There may be a learning curve to some of this, depending on how far along you are, but with many of those options I just named, essentially, it's just plug and go. I mean, you can literally set something up in minutes and just add in your text. For me, I quite enjoy something that is called Webflow, a little bit more intermediate in terms of the skills that you need to actually build a website, but it's so much fun once you learn how to do it. You can customize things and animate and all this good stuff. Oh, by the way, it's not a paid ad, but shout out to Webflow in case you guys are listening. Next, you gotta choose a domain name. Hey, if you're a lawyer in tech and you don't know what a domain name is, please sign up for my course. We will work through it, but you gotta choose a domain name that represents your brand and it's easy to remember. So for me, for ByteBow, it's just bitebow.io. I also have a website that's jamiliagreer.com. It's my personal professional lawyer page that talks all about, you know, what I've done as a lawyer. You want to choose something that represents your brand. So most likely that's your firm name. If it's available, choose something that's easy for you to sort of remember and for other people to remember as well. Another thing is when you put this website up, you want to create pages that showcase the expertise in Web3 and what it is that you actually can do. So here's the thing, guys. Clients, many times, they don't know what they need you to do, right? If you can imagine you have a stomach ache, you go to the doctor. You don't know what you need the doctor to do. You don't know what's wrong with you. You just know that you want to be made better. And the same is for clients. Many who businesses come in and they know they need a lawyer to do something. They have an issue that they think they have, but they don't really know what the solution is. So you need to do a good job of communicating what that solution could be and how it is that you normally help clients. And once again, just to wrap up this whole website discussion, make it visually appealing. I particularly like fun, colorful websites, even though it's for a law firm. It's got to fit you and what you're trying to do, but it's got to be easy to navigate and it's got to be mobile friendly. Oh, that's one of my pet peeves is going to websites that are not mobile friendly. Once again, if you're a lawyer listening and you're like, hey, what's mobile friendly? We got to talk. Mobile friendly basically just means that when you look at the website on your phone, it is minimized or it's not, everything is kind of like just not aligned properly. So you're seeing images that are maybe cut off or maybe too small or too large. That's not mobile friendly. That means that the website hasn't been optimized for mobile phones. So whatever you create on your laptop, make sure that it's coming through correctly on a phone because chances are, the first time that someone will come across your website, they will be scrolling on a phone. 50-50 chance, right? So that's something that they really should pay attention to and just go for it. That's basics, guys. You will need a website. And I know it's an investment It's time. You didn't join this podcast today to hear me tell you what you actually have to do, but I'm telling you, if you want to succeed in building your own practice, you need a professional website. Like, don't cut corners on it. You need to do it, okay? Secondly, that I know some of you are gonna fight me on, is social media. So the thing about lawyers is that most lawyers don't wanna be seen. They don't wanna be seen, they don't wanna be heard, they wanna be behind the scenes, they just wanna draft the contract and then move on with their life. But if you are running your own business, if you are starting a firm, you have to leverage social media to connect with potential clients and other industry professionals. So that means what? That means you've gotta create a LinkedIn profile. You maybe want to consider having a Twitter account. You maybe want to consider having a professional Facebook page for your business. You want to be able to share valuable content that's related to things like digital assets, recent lawsuits that are coming out regarding NFTs or cryptocurrency, the bankruptcies that are happening, things that, you know, relate to commercial law. You can share news articles, you can create your own blog posts and share them, but you need to find a way to engage with people and not just feed information, but also engage with followers by responding to comments and then sharing your insights. So it is a whole nother book of work, this social media. I mean, and I've seen some people do a really good job of communicating who they are, what their value proposition is, and I've seen other people struggle with it. For me, I'm not really like the big social media person. You may see me every now and then post an article on LinkedIn or comment. I'm not the everyday social media person. But you've got to find what works for you. Some people do it and they like it. They enjoy sharing their thoughts and commentary. They've created a system to do it so that it doesn't take up too much time. That's another consideration. You don't want to spend so much time on this, so you have to kind of think about what works right for you. But it's something that absolutely you need to do, because how else are you going to reach your potential clients? So here's your homework for this second one here about leveraging social media. You've got to create a LinkedIn profile. Or a Twitter account. I would say go for LinkedIn at first. That's basic. You got to do it. Make it nice. Put a banner in the back. Have a nice professional headshot photo that is representing you as a lawyer on your LinkedIn profile. Make sure you optimize your headline. There's tons and tons of articles out there about how to optimize a LinkedIn profile. So you want to make sure you do it and you're speaking to what your practice area is. And then just share valuable content on it. You can share articles or blog posts, whatever works for you. And another thing that I'm bad about is engaging with followers. I have a really hard time doing this. You guys may see me post an article and then, you know, it gets a certain number of likes or people comment and I don't come back for like a day or so because I posted it and I'm done. That's really bad. Don't do that. You got to engage with people. If someone comments and asks a question, or even if someone opposes your view, I used to get, you know, kind of like annoyed when I would post something and someone would just post a comment just to oppose my view or my perspective. But hey, that's actually good. It creates discussion. So don't shy away from those things. Try to use hashtags. Hashtags are a great way to make your content more searchable. And if you really want to go all out on this, after you've created your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter account, or whatever else you're going to do, you can consider running targeted ads once you understand the persona of your potential clients. So you guys are getting like legal marketing 201 today, okay? This class is virtual legal marketing. And I really hope that you guys do this. I'd love to see some of the results once you get your profiles up and once you start posting things. Please tag me and tag ByteBow so I can come in and check and see what you guys have done. So I'd say that, you know, probably the last piece, and I talked a little bit about this in terms of creating valuable content. You know, it's one thing to create a social media page. It's one thing to create a LinkedIn profile that's very outward facing. But I really struggle with, and I find there are many different ways to do this, is how do you create valuable content? Valuable content is really specific because it depends upon who your target clients are. So if I know that I am great at risk assessments and reviewing business models and pointing out risk and identifying ways to minimize that risk, I need to think like, okay, who is someone that would need that service? Oh, well, let's go fishing. Let's see. You need to create an article that kind of walks your potential client through why they need that, how it can help them, and what are some of the things that you've done that resolve issues. And you don't have to give away your secret sauce in this article, but if you find news articles or if you find other pieces of content that are somewhat on point, you can comment about it. You can build off of those ideas. It really is an art, and I find that, you know, the easiest way to start this is just to start with small blog posts. You could even write a blog post about the legal implications of using NFTs for advertising. You can talk about consumer protection laws that have been created to protect consumers about false statements regarding cryptocurrency. You can talk about some of the lawsuits that have happened because people have made misleading statements regarding returns for cryptocurrency. You know, the possibilities are endless. You just have to focus in and think about what is the value that you provide and work backwards from that. So I've also seen a lot of success with video content. So video content is for lawyers like kryptonite. It is the scariest thing ever. So to the extent that lawyers don't like doing things like podcasts or writing articles and putting them on LinkedIn, lawyers definitely do not like creating videos and putting them on social media. It is like I said, it's like the kryptonite. But you know what? It really converts. It really works. And it's really a way to show who you are as a person and your communication style. You can showcase your expertise. You can talk about an issue that resonates with your target client audience. It's just a really good way to get in leads. And to the extent that you can get comfortable with it at some point, I really recommend that you do it. Now, you don't have to start out with like TikTok or YouTube or anything like that. Just think about what you can do that's small. Admittedly, I don't really do this. For me, it's just not my vibe. Maybe one day I will. Maybe this podcast will be video. That would be fine for me. But for right now, it's podcast and writing articles. So you have to do what works for you. Whatever you do, make sure you do it well. And of course, all of this takes time and effort. You know, I didn't start out BiteBow having a podcast and, you know, this website and the platform. Everything has evolved organically over time, but the benefits are well worth it. You can not only attract new clients and build your reputation, but it forces you to stay up to date on the latest trends and developments in the industry. Because you cannot create content if you don't know what you're talking about, right? If you haven't read, you know, a certain number of articles or publications or, you know, news alerts, you can't talk about a particular issue because you're not studied up. So this really forces you to do it. And it, you know what? I recommend that all lawyers at any stage in their journey do this. And I recall when I was in Day Pitney, I remember the code for business development for time. And everybody was like, oh, you don't want to build business development. Like for new associates, it's like the horrible thing to do to spend your time on business development. But I really think that should be changed because the brunt of business development and bringing new clients shouldn't just be for partners. It should be for lawyers at all levels because if a second year brings in a big fish, it's the same as if, you know, the partner brings in a big fish. It just matters who is doing the work, right? So it's a skill that you have to develop, you have to exercise, and you just have to get comfortable doing it. Lawyers don't like to sell. We don't like to sound salesy because we think it's cringy. And sometimes it can be cringy, but I really think that as professionals in the space, and not just Web3, but any space that you're in, you have to get used to talking about what you've done, your expertise, and how you're able to help clients. And you have to be able to articulate it in a very clear way. So use this as practice. Use this, you know, website building and social media and all this content you're creating as practice to get your talking points in. So go for it, guys. That's it for today's episode of Barely Legal in Web3. If you're interested in learning more about building an online presence as a Web3 lawyer, or if you have any other questions or topics you'd like us to cover on the show, don't hesitate to reach out. Don't forget to join us next week for another exciting episode of Barely Legal in Web3, where we'll be talking about how to network and build connections in the Web3 industry. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Take care, guys.